Wow. Yeah, I can do that. Probably nobody else like Pastor Lee's laughing right now. That's for sure. He knows. He knows. Hey, look, I just want to share what's in my heart. As we embark on 2011, I really feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking. And I'm so thankful that he's speaking. And I want to posture myself to hear. Because a lot of times you hear people talk, but you don't necessarily hear what they're saying. And so, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're speaking today. Would you open our ears, open our mind, open our heart to the eternal word of God? Help us, Lord, to focus on what's important to you. Help us, oh God, to just focus on the important things and not necessarily the urgent things. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. You may have heard the story. Keeping watch over their flock. Two important words, by night. I'm not really going to read any more of that Luke 2 passage because I think that's really the focus of what the Holy Spirit wants to bring. You see, the light of the world was born in the darkness of night. And when you begin considering darkness, it speaks of two words in the Greek, paralysis and immobility. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79 talks about the light of the world coming to those who are sitting in great darkness. And that word sit is kind of a concession. Sort of got to the place in our life where we go, you know what, life's not going to change much, so I think I'll just sit down in it and learn to adapt. But the light of the world broke in on that sitting down in paralysis or immobility. What we're talking about is not being able to function, perhaps as God would prescribe in our own marriage or as a parent or as a business person. It doesn't really matter, but somehow a paralysis has come, maybe in our thinking or in some relationship somewhere along the line. And Jesus was born in the darkness. Jesus was born in the cover of night. What's interesting about Luke 1:79, it does also say they were sitting in darkness, but it says under the shadow of death. You know, that's a powerful statement because when you're close enough for that thing to cast a shadow, that means the proximity of that thing is just within inches. And can you imagine an entire generation sitting close enough to destruction, that destruction would cast a shadow and yet be immobile or experiencing paralysis, the inability to get up from impending doom. And so Jesus was born. Jesus came into that circumstance or that situation. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 9 and verse 11, he says this, "As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore to you double." Because of the blood covenant. Because Christ was born in this paralysis. Because Christ was able to come to us sitting immobile there in the shadow of impending destruction. The waterless place, often as we read in the scripture, is a wordless place. Because we know in Ephesians 5 and 26, the word of God symbolically proclaimed to us as the washing of water. And so we see we find ourselves in wordless places in our life. And as we approach a new year, God's not content to allow us to sit in the paralysis of our past. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church universally, but especially here in America, that rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. There is a glory that is going to be shared upon those who are willing to reach out to the light. And the light is coming. coming to renew, coming to heal, coming to restore, coming to give hope back to the hopeless and give help to those who have become helpless. You know, Isaac was a type of Christ, and he redug the wells of salvation. There has to be a redigging again, a reclaiming of those things that we can honestly admit to one another that we've lost, that we must go back to find where we left, to find that place of concession, that we're not content to continue the way life has been. You know, there's an amazing story in Matthew chapter 8. I'm sure you've all read it. It's in verse 23 or 25 to 33. And it's talking about Jesus going to the other side. Here's what it reads. And when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, there he met two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. Now, we've heard that sermon before. We've heard about the demonics, these that were possessed, that were cutting themselves and were naked and could not be bound. But I think there's another phrase in that scripture that has more importance to you and me. And it simply says this, that no one could pass that way. And the Holy Spirit began to erupt in my heart. And he said, that's where I want to go. I want to go in you where no one else has been able to go. I want to pass beyond your spiritual experience. I want to go beyond the point where you ended in 2010. I want to go to the place where even your wife doesn't go. Even your husband doesn't go. Your children know nothing about, and you rarely even go there. You know, Jesus is always messing with us, isn't he? He wants to get into our stuff. He wants to go beyond. He wants to open the closet doors. He wants to look behind the walls. He wants to turn the light on. It's like, Jesus, can't you just leave us alone in our nice church? But the scripture tells us that they cried out, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? And that really is indicative of this. There are places in our life that Jesus wants to come to that neither you or I, or even church members, families, preachers rarely tread. Because the stronghold that is there can declare to that invasion, that divine invasion, simply this, what have we to do with you? In other words, this place is off limits to the Christ. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, hey, Lou, what's been off limits to Jesus in your life? I said, Lord, I like the other sermon better. It's a little easier to preach, and it's a little more comfortable. But as we prepare for a tithe of the year, 37 days of prayer and fasting, beginning January 2nd, 7 times a day, praying for 3 minutes, enjoying what God will do. I mean coming into a region and literally taking over, going where people don't normally go. For example, cue it up for me, the video. For example, you see, we can understand God can put a calling on our life to go outside of these four walls and invade space where people don't normally expect God to show up. We've been talking about these flash prayers or mob prayers. And if you don't know what a flash mob is, it is suddenly people taking over a space for the glory of God. Are you ready back there? Show it for me just for a minute. I want you to see what a flash mob is all about. This is West Side Market. People are just enjoying their lunch. People are just living their life. This certainly isn't church. Or is it? Message in January, we all say, I'll meet you at Cleveland City Hall in the rotunda at 2 p.m. 300 of us show up. We walk into the room on the command. We all get down on our knees. Suddenly we're down there like this. Then one hand, whoop, then the other hand, whoop. And then we begin to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the outpouring of your glory upon this city and upon this region. 60 seconds later, you get up and you walk out. Right before the police come. We're talking about Jesus wanting to invade space that's been off limits. And the secularization of this world has put boundaries upon the Spirit of God. And we, His people, have adapted to those boundaries and said, you can only do that in here. But how many know that Jesus was born at night, the light of the world, born in the dark place for the purposes of becoming mobile and lifting up the paralysis in our life? Wow. I'm talking about an exciting year. I don't want to be arrested by the police, but I certainly want to have a little more excitement in my life. The Bible says in that text of Matthew 8 and 28 that no one could pass that way. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and he said, you know, not only in the natural, not only in the West Side Market or the City Hall or some park or some other public access place, maybe a train or a bus or an elevator. This would be a blast. I mean, you've got nothing to do on Friday night. Get six of your friends, practice a song, and just ride the elevators at Cleveland Clinic all night and begin to sing as soon as the door closes. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But you know what? That's the easy part. We really don't have to be in order to do we? As church folks, we've done a lot of which we really are not. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and he said, hey, Lou, this is what I really want. I want to go into your life where no other person has ever gone before. I want to go beyond the limits where you have not permitted me access. Now it's become a little more personal. Now it's my West Side Market. And I believe in the 2011 year, we as a church need to allow him to access the places in our life where maybe even our own family has never been. An attempt to go beyond the point in our life that has failed up to now. Sometimes I get close. Sometimes in prayer, in worship, and even this morning, the joy, I started to feel the joy. And I found Jesus getting close. But I'm quick to remember, I've got to shut the door. Because you see, in that place of my life are two out of control demoniacs. And if he were to see those, he might even disqualify me from being a pastor. When in reality, in those areas of our life, we've actually chosen to live in the entombments of our failures. And God says, no more. I want to come after the places that have had the boundary lines previously established, maybe by religion, maybe by your own experiences, maybe by your hurts, maybe by some other pastor, some other teaching, I don't know what, but today I want to be able to say to the Holy Spirit, no more limits. And I want you to have access into my life. The Bible tells us about perfect love casting out all fear. And really what's happened when I don't permit him access is I have fear, which really tells me I'm not really introduced to the perfect love of God. Because if love casts out all fear, I can trust him that he's going to make things right. Even those ugly things, naked things, bleeding things. You see, those men were bleeding and they were naked and they were bound. They weren't even in their right minds. But perfect love casts out the fear of those things being exposed. Because the Bible tells us in the end of that story, they were sitting there in their right minds and fully clothed. On the other side of the divine invasion will come Christ in his total power of restoration. You do not have to fear him crossing your previously held boundaries. So I'm looking forward to this new year and God's invasion in my life. In verse 29, it says, they cried out, Son of Man, what do we have to do with you? In other words, this hidden spot in my life, my unforgiveness, my lust, my anger, my embitterment towards another person, my secret prejudice against other ethnicities. I haven't had to really deal with those. But you see, I don't believe have anything to do with that either. Because here's what we've bought into. We have bought into a generation, the postmodern era, that tells us we're all just human. So if you hate somebody, that's just a human emotion. If you've got lust, we all have it. It's sort of this way. You know, when I ask people to fast, many people say, well, how are we going to fast, Pastor? Are we going to do just fruits and vegetables and maybe some nuts as a protein supplement? Are we going to do a full fast? Are we going to do just water? What are we going to do? And I wish I could tell you what to do, because that's between you and the Holy Spirit. However you choose to fast, maybe only one meal a day. And you say, well, that Daniel fast, that's easy. Try it. No bread, no sugar, no sweets. Just fruits, just vegetables for 37 days. Maybe like Daniel, your face will brighten up and your eyes. You'll come in with a Holy Ghost step, huh? Maybe. You never know. Christmas is a tough time to fast, isn't it? Yeah, I'm currently on one, have been now for a little while, and Christmas is always a challenge because when you walk into Christmas service, after service Friday night, we went home and there it was, decked out. Red tablecloths, beautiful decorations, pumpkin pies, nut rolls, apple crumb pie. Oh, you know, all that stuff laying out on a table, and I walk up to it and I say, no, I choose not to partake. Especially when my family is in the kitchen. But I look for the opportune moment. There's something about my flesh that is very creative. I notice something about me. I wait till no one's around. I kind of spy out the one that I'm going to take. And I make sure nobody's coming, and I take it and pop it in my mouth real quick. And when they come back in, I'm just praising Jesus. I have to admit, I have done that in the past. I didn't do it this Christmas. Hallelujah. But I don't think that's the fast that God's calling us to. What he's really calling us to is to starve our flesh. Did you know that you can starve your body and at the same time be gluttonous in your fleshly appetite? You could actually get spiritual and fast and even pray 7 times a day, 3 minutes a day. Come to prayer on New Year's Eve from 10 till midnight. Come to church and worship Jesus and then go home and talk about your neighbor. Even while you're on a fast, it's weird. It's like taking that little when no one's looking. But I've understood something about the flesh. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. And if I'm going to invite Christ into the place of my life where previously there were boundaries, where I am tormented, I'm going to have to subdue the me. Look at somebody and say, subdue the you. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? So they cried out and they said, what do you have to do with us in this place? And in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 8, Jesus came to him and simply said this. I love this. Pastor Lee, you set me up. He said, go. Now, wait a minute. All this cutting, bleeding, nakedness, chains, living in a tomb all these years, and all you do is come in here and say, go. I mean, can't you get a little more religious, please? Like, where's the choir? Where's the anointing oil? Where's the shundai? See my hundai? Tie my bow tie? Ha! Come on, Jesus! Say something more than just go! But how many know one word from God can change your life forever? How many believe that? Come on, give Jesus a hand. Yeah, one word from God change our life forever. Woo! Hallelujah. And so go they went. And you know the story. There were these swine grazing, and the spirits went into them. Now notice what happened to the swine. Did you notice what happened? Did you read the story? If you've never read it, those spirits that were in these places which were off limits to Christ now are gone, and they go into the swine, and the swine start running. I don't think swine like to run, but they were running. And then they got to the end of the cliff, and they kept on running. Then they did a beautiful dive down into the water, and they died. Listen, church. The thing that you think you can live with, if you continue, you will die with. And I know some of us say, yeah, but I've been managing it for 20 years. That's God's mercy. I was raised this way. That's God's mercy too. But everybody's doing it. That's the devil's deception. God never called us to live naturally. So this whole teaching that we're only human as a regenerated soul, as a redeemed man or woman of God, is erroneous, because he's called us to a supernatural life. Isn't that good news? That means through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can love you even though you are ugly, mean, betray me, hurt me. Matter of fact, Jesus said this: love your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. He said, as a matter of fact, go bless them. What? Bless them? Yeah, I want you to go bless them. Look, Jesus, off limits. You're not allowed to come into that area of my life. If you knew what they did, then you get all these people in the church that you attend go, it's okay, sweetheart. You know, we're all human. We have so lowered the standard of Christianity that we have so many gatherings alive and well within the church and the pulpits that we need to clean house. So as I look at 2011, I say, God, clean my house. I want you to come into areas of my life where I have not permitted you access. I love this story in Genesis 6:13. God had created the earth, and progressively it got worse. Do you remember the story about Noah? God said, Noah, I want you to go build a boat. What's a boat? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? You know, he really didn't deal with that. He just did it. And there may be some things going to happen in your life as you open up the gate to the access of Christ your Lord into your life where previously he has not had access. And you may not understand everything, but this is what he said. God spoke to Noah and he said, hey, Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. And the Spirit of God really got a hold of my heart this morning, and this is what he said. Don't read that scripture with the defined theological interpretation of your past. In other words, don't see it as God being mad at people, seeing God frustrated with the purposes of the flesh on the earth. And God says, you know what? I'm done. And I really believe as we embark on this new year, that's what God is speaking. He's saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with your tirades. I'm done with your deception. I'm done with your impure motives. I'm done with your backbiting. I'm done with your prejudice. I'm done with your stealing. I am done. What do you mean you're done? How could all of us be wrong? Oh, you're God. You know what's interesting? If you go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, and I can't read that now because I don't want to keep you. Some of you look like you've had too much Christmas cheer. You're sort of like. It's okay, though. I have preached through many sleepers on Sunday morning. Not a problem. Let's read this. Are we ready? Read. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Stop right there. The earth was filled with violent contortions because of them, because of the works of the flesh. Violence spread. Hatred spread. Division spread. Death spread because of them. Let's continue. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's the word for 2011. God's coming after my flesh. I don't know if I want to go to a church where I can't be fleshy. I mean, come on. A little bit of flash and a little bit of flesh. Not bad. But we read another story in Genesis 21 where Abraham had become intimate with the flesh. He got naked with the flesh. He had become one with the flesh. Do you know the story? It was Sarah who suggested, Hagar. She couldn't get pregnant, so she sent her handmaiden into Abraham that he might somehow birth something. See, you and I cannot become intimate with our flesh and not birth something. But notice what happened. In this narrative, Abraham is struggling. Because Sarah now saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't put an end to the flesh. The maturation of your spirit will always be ridiculed and mocked by your flesh. And the more you attempt to mature in the spirit, the more challenges you will have if the flesh goes unchecked. Now, this is what the scripture says. If you go back to the beginning of that verse, or the next verse, whatever it is. So the child, go back to the beginning of the actual whole entire context. Is that the beginning of it? Okay, so the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Next verse, verse 9, please. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Now the next verse. This is our 2011. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Now hold that scripture there. Here's what I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me at 7:35 this morning. Tell the church, and this includes you, Lou, don't you try to sidestep this issue, to cast out the bondwoman and her son that you gave birth to. And I said, God, I liked my other sermon better. Abraham struggled with this. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. Verse 11. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham grew to love what he birthed. We fall in love with our flesh. I just don't like it, dude. I love it. It is me. I created it out of my loins. It's mine. And now, wait a minute, Holy Spirit. You're telling me to cast it out? I don't know if I can do this. Next verse. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of the thing that you birthed. Whatever Sarah has said to you, may I suggest to us today that Sarah is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is saying, send your flesh away. And as we look to this new year with a new opportunity to serve God with all of our hearts, I said, God, instead of fasting food, I want to lay on the table of our dining room all the niceties that appeal to my flesh. And when I'm tempted to speak ill of that person who deeply hurt me. Now, I'm going to be real transparent with you if it's okay. And if you want to vote me out, vote me out. This week, I had a name come back to my life that I had put in a tomb where no one went, not even Jesus. And the name came up, and I scoffed. My wife tried to be Sarah. And she said, sweetheart, you really shouldn't talk like that because God loves them. That just made me angry. Okay, I'm transparent. I'm telling you, all right? I said, I'm not talking about them. I'm just expressing my feelings. Can I express my feelings? She stood there quietly shaking her head. No. And I came face to face with the real me. You know what I did? When no one was looking, I took a sugar cookie. And I fed my flesh. Now, to go back to God and admit that is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. Or to stand up in front of your church and tell you, I ate the sugar cookie, is not exactly the easiest thing to do. But I know this, we all have put our hand in the cookie jar before. And I don't want you to ever think that I never get caught. But hearing the voice of the Lord this morning saying to me, together as a church, if we can present Christ in a dimension that says, I've taken off all the limits and I've opened up all the gates and I've unlocked all the doors. And I want you to come in. What's sad about this whole narrative in Matthew chapter 8 is the last verse. I don't even know if you have it, the last verse in that narrative. But it basically says this, that all the people that were in that region saw what happened. The pigs went over the side and they died, and you know. But they saw the men clothed, sitting in their right minds, you know, back into society. And they still didn't appreciate what Jesus did. Because they lost their pigs. Jesus, do I have to give up my pig? Suddenly they cried out saying, what shall we have to do with you, Jesus? Have you come here to torn us before their time? That's not the scripture. I think it's verse 34. But it basically says, would you please leave? We really don't want you here. Could you just go? Can you imagine the Son of God right in the midst, just displaying his power to be able to go into regions that are entombed with the scent of death and under the shadow of death, paralysis and all the fear that has gripped their lives and the torment that they had gone through and the impending doom and utter death that was going to come to their life, now restored, now renewed, now put back into society, back into life, and they say to Jesus, would you please leave me alone. Now I'm going to tell you, you're going to be able to find a church that will accommodate your pigs. I'm just going to tell you that. There's churches out there that will, and in the pastors as well, and I'm sorry, I just can't go there, and no need for response. I'm not looking for response. I'm just telling you, I am not feeding my flesh, and I'm not going to permit it just because we're, quote, human. Whether that's social drinking, whether that's, you know, acts of carnality. You know, we have to come to a point where we say, I'm not going to cheat anymore. So let me tell you what happened this Christmas. All the stuff was laid out. And I walked in there and I went, wow. I'd like to have some of that, Lord. But you know what? I like to have you more. And so I had my vegetables and a few almonds. And I didn't feel poor, woe is me. I didn't have self-pity. I didn't walk away even thinking I was spiritual. I walked away saying, God, teach me how to do this in my flesh. Because it's easier to do it with food. Because when you sit down with a bunch of Christians to eat, it becomes real visible what you're not eating. But I can't read your mind. And I don't know what you're thinking. And I don't know what's in your heart, but God does. And so I conclude with this thought. Genesis 6, Jesus said to Noah, build me an ark. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, hey, Lou, build me a place of a dwelling of people who have determined to separate themselves from the rest. He said, I want you to put pitch on the outside and put pitch on the inside. And if you studied those Hebrew words, they're two different Hebrew words. One talks about a covering and the other one talks about a cleansing. And so I want to be covered by the blood. And I want the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I know you do as well. So with me right now, put your stuff aside. Just close your eyes where you are. And can you, along with me, invite Jesus into the areas of our lives that have been previously off limits? And if you can, right where you are, quietly, just ask him. And he'll come. Jesus went to the other side that day where nobody else wanted to go, where everybody else feared. That's the beauty of this whole Christmas story. While shepherds watched their fields at night, Christ was born. So come into my night, Lord. Come into my dark place. And set me free. I want to serve you, Lord. I only want to serve you. I'm done with me. I just want to serve you. I know that's your prayer today. I know that's your desire, or you wouldn't even be here. And while you're interfacing with the Holy Spirit right now, people are beginning to pray for you, and that the strength of God would come and touch you. Because it really needs angelic intervention. Even as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane wrestling with his own flesh, that's what he was doing, you know. He looked for help from his disciples, and they were fast asleep. And the Bible says, and Jesus went a little bit further. And then again, Jesus went a little bit further. How far are you willing to go today? Come on, let's stand. Altar ministers, would you come across the front of this room? He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Come on, worship him with me. Lift your hands up. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Yes, come on, sing it. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. You see, even while we were yet sinners, Jesus demonstrated his love for us in that he died. You need prayer today? You want to go a little bit further with God than you've ever gone before? You want to take off all the limits? Boy, you can do that right where you are, but you can also do that around this altar. There's something about moving from where you are and coming in agreement with another person. So why don't you just take that opportunity right now? He's calling you. Oh, yes, he is. He's calling you. He's calling you. Come on. Come on. Could you sing that with me? Lift your hands up and worship with me. Wasn't offended at their nakedness. He wasn't repulsed at the bondage. And he wasn't afraid to get dirty. He wasn't afraid for their blood to get on him. Because he knew that if they got close enough, his blood would get on them. Listen, don't you hesitate because you feel unworthy or that you're unqualified. Jesus is here just for you. So why don't you move out from where you are and come to this aisle as we sing one more time. Come on, choir. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves me once again. Would you reach a hand out to them and pray for them? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray, God, that your mercy, your grace, your love would overwhelm them right now, God. We pray, Father, for the victory. No more bondage. No more nakedness. No more loss of life. But restoration in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We want to encourage you, if you have the need for prayer, to come. You can continue to worship, but live right, love everybody, pray hard. On Wednesday night, I'll be continuing my series on Revelation. Tuesday night in Lorraine at 6 p.m., I'll be doing a mentoring teaching for those that aspire to go into ministry. 6 p.m. in Lorraine at Tuesday night. God bless you. Love everyone.